Hey, Rich.
Hey, Eric. I'm back on the sound waves.
Were you off?
For a little bit.
Oh, well, I'm glad to have you back.
For the holidays and illness. It's our first ever Gecko Gamescast of 2021.
Is that actually true?
It's true.
What? Last time we recorded was before... Oh, December 30th. You're right.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's 2021. Everything's fixed. Nothing worse happened in America while we were away.
No, everything was actually pretty good in the country. I even think we got along.
Everything's better now. There was no armed insurrection. And everything's fine
no.
here.
In this country? No way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got along. It was a great time. I think President Trump even said I was wrong. It was astounding.
You know what? He said, I'm going to go to jail. You need to put me in jail. But I hope one day you can forgive me.
And he walked in. He actually walked in like one of those saloon-style kinds of prisons.
So
where
like
he opened the door himself and said, lock me up. Yeah, he said, I am supposed to be in here.
This is where
and it shocked
I'm
the nation.
A jail boy.
Yes.
Crazy.
No, that didn't happen. There was an armed insurrection. So... You know.
Wow. Huh.
Same as it ever was, huh? You know.
You know what's crazy that I've been thinking about, and it's been long enough that I don't want to harp on this for too long on this podcast, but since he got officially banned from Twitter, which is nice, I've actually had more concern because I'm like, now I never know what he's up to.
Yeah, but how much was he actually up to?
Not much.
Like, honestly.
But, like...
How much was he actually up to, besides just spouting off some crap? I think that was honestly the biggest...
Yeah.
The biggest news story.
Well, you're definitely right.
Half
there's
the
a
time.
Lot of like, you know, when he was silent for a while in the past, you'd be like, I haven't heard from him for a while. Maybe somebody should check in. But now we can never really hear any murmurings.
Well, I guess I mean, during his term, I guess I would have cared a little bit more. But now
yeah.
that we're 10 days from the new inauguration, I could not care any less.
Yeah, I really look forward to having a president that doesn't just wake up in the morning and start doing crimes.
Yeah. I mean, who's to say? There's still time. Biden, there's still time.
That's true.
He'll really break bad.
Step up his game.
Dude, who's to say? But
that's not why
hey,
we're
everybody.
Here.
We hope you've had a good New Year. When's it acceptable to not say Happy New Year anymore? For me, it's January 2nd. You get
I
one.
I think that's good. Just that day. Some people, I've gotten a Happy New Year in like March. And I've been like,
oh, fuck
God. Like,
yeah, no, come on. Why? For what purpose?
I don't know.
Do.
It's crazy.
If somebody told me Happy New Year in March, I would think that they'd actually celebrate another New Year
yeah,
event
I'd
from another culture.
Yeah, I'd Google when Lunar New Year is.
Yeah, because that's too much for me.
It's the year of the bear.
Because at work, I don't know, the work shelf life of that, I think is for the end of the month, for whenever you first speak to somebody. So if you haven't spoken to somebody maybe for the first few weeks of January...
I think
and
it's excusable. I think once you enter February, that's gone.
We're
that's
done.
Out the window.
No.
We're done with that.
No, no, no. And if somebody else tells me that, I'll say, why would happen? What's so happy about it?
What good happened? What went on?
Yeah, what went on?
It's been nothing
but
bad.
I hope everybody else had a happy New Year. I saw the ball drop event in Times Square. It was very dystopian.
Yeah.
Had wacky waving arm inflatable tube men. Sponsored by Planet Fitness.
Why?
And that was the crowd.
Why did they... go with the song Imagine?
I don't know.
It seemed like
you think Dick Clark. You think I was thinking Dick Clark must be rolling in his fucking grave. You think that guy would have done that?
No,
absolutely not.
I don't think Dick Clark should. If Dick Clark were alive, he would have been in a like an airtight room for the past year.
Instead, we had a some dude looking at Anderson Cooper and telling him to try acid. This is what it devolved
Dick
into.
Dick Clark's rocking New Year's Eve, baby.
I don't even know who that guy was, but he was telling Anderson Cooper, oh, we should go do acid later. And I was thinking, what the? I was like, where's Dick?
You know how...
Dick, save us.
You know, I brought in the New Year in a way I did not expect, which was with a few beers and playing Mount Your Friends.
Oh, what a great game.
Yeah. It was...
a lot of banana hammocks in that one.
I tricked a bunch of our friends into buying that game 10 years too late.
Is it like $3?
It was $1.60. It was on sale.
I mean, is it really a trick at that point?
Well, no. We've
That's a
played
deal.
It several times since.
That's a steal and a deal.
It's a great game.
That game is a classic.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is.
I highly recommend still for people to try that. It's a test in strength and mental will.
It is a simulated sports-like experience, as the game explains.
I love that wet slap that they have in that game for the sound effects of touching skin.
You know what it is? I was teaching Parmizi how to get real good at getting a good fling there, because that's the most satisfying thing in the world when you can jump like three guys ahead. That game's so good.
Oh, yeah. I call myself the spider that's when you go up, because my limbs become like spider legs.
A man spider.
When you have complete control over all limbs simultaneously, it's a heightened state.
And you're unstoppable.
But
you're akin to a god at that point.
I mean, and it's all on top of a goat. I always love that too. It all starts where a goat's on the bottom, and you have to just mount up.
They added horizontal climbs too. I don't know how long ago they added that.
I'm sure it was years ago.
Where they take the ground out after a certain point, and if you fall below that line, you're fucked.
Damn. No, not for me. It's a lot of stress.
I also always appreciated the safe for work mode in that game, where they are all in business suits and their swinging dongs are replaced with zippers.
Yep. I even think the safe for work would be just with more dongs.
You know what? That's a good idea. I'll write a letter. But yes.
Yeah, more dongs.
That's not why we're here. We're here to talk about the game of the year of 2021. I'm kidding. 2020. We're going to talk
about... I want game of the year 2021, Doom Eternal.
Wow, that's crazy. I'm going to give it to God of War Ragnarok, a game that claims it will release this year and will not.
I don't believe it will. And that's not even just because I don't think it's good.
I just don't think it's going to come out.
Or they can't do it.
I just don't think they're going to hit that window.
You never know. I guess you never know. COVID's not going to be really as prevalent as it will be later in the year, so it's not like somebody can claim that anymore.
Sell that to Japan.
At what point can you still say it's COVID's fault if it's September?
Oh, no, I don't even think it's COVID's fault. Even in a non-COVID year, I don't think they would hit that year. I think the turnaround's too quick from the first game.
You never know.
I'm actually factoring COVID out of it when I say that. I just don't think they'll hit that year.
No. I don't even know when they were working on it, to be fair.
I mean, I'd imagine the first one released in 2018... I'd imagine they launched right into the development of the sequel. That game was a fucking overnight success.
Well, if they use the same assets that they did from the first one,
assuming they're,
because you could honestly just slap a new coat of paint on it, make it 4K eligible, and
I'm assuming they're using the same engine, which definitely does speed up the game.
Surely it couldn't be that hard.
It is.
They practically have the game already.
It is that hard, and don't call me Shirley.
I could even, if I was managing the entire game development, I'd cut down costs by not even having new voice acting. I would just splice the existing one and cut them together to make new sentences and new stories. I don't understand why more people don't do that.
I'm pretty sure that's how Majora's Mask was made.
Yeah. I fully believe that. And look what happened. One of the most highly regarded games of our time.
That was a... turnaround in 2 years, I believe. Ocarina is 98, Majora's Mask is 2000.
Yeah. And how's that doing? Everybody loves that game. All they did was splice a bunch of shit together. They said, hey, we have to make a new Ocarina, and Miyamoto's like, why?
And they were like, hey, how'd you do? And they're like, we took a bunch of the shit that we didn't use, and we spliced it in, and we made the save system worse. Would that be good for you?
Is that okay? I tried really hard on this. It's like we got development time done within like a month.
Hey, we know you had a really effectual save system in the last game. We thought we'd make it worse. Does that sound good?
Any other person I've ever tried to get to play that game, they always think, oh shit, the whole time system sucks.
You need
to... saving sucks. Everything sucks.
Well, in the 3DS version, they fixed the save system. It's the same save system as they Ocarina did. That's really the only thing that I think is genuinely bad about Majora's Mask.
When I was a kid, I didn't get the whole time system. I was a real dumbass about it, and I just thought it was a pain. And I didn't understand why things would reset after I just completed areas.
Yeah, I don't think I beat that game until we were in high school.
Yeah. I genuinely didn't even beat it until later on. The same. That goes for so many games, though, that I've played where I think I tried it in the beginning. I said, what is this? And then later on, even Ocarina, I didn't even bother. I watched my older brother play it and beat it, and then later on I was thinking, I'll come back to this because it seemed like heavy shit.
Yeah.
And I did, and yeah, it was a good time.
Worth it.
Same with the Final Fantasies. I didn't even bother.
Yeah. I think the closest I came at a young age was like, I definitely got up to the last boss of 9 at a younger age than you would expect, but it probably took me forever.
Yeah, it's like, I was a real dumbass. I didn't get to play Final Fantasy until I was young, like 25. I didn't even get to beat it until I was like
25. I didn't kill God until I was almost 30.
Yeah. But, I'm not here to talk about old games. I'm here to talk about current. Could I call it current? Games. Technically, it's 20 games. The games of last year.
For this Game of the Year extravaganza, this is the 3rd annual Geki Awards show.
Is it really the 3rd?
3rd annual, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, because we've had 2 previous, and this is the 3rd.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's exactly how I thought about it. No, that's kind of wild.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
A little bit.
Look at us. We're dying, Eric. We're dying.
Stop. The reason why I didn't even want to say it, because I knew you'd say it like that.
You know how I get when it's close to my birthday.
No. Yeah, listen, Rich and I, heavy deliberation, met in the danger rooms,
with Professor and Xavier.
Fought verbally, almost split several times, but we did it. And, of course, as we always do, we didn't prep any real predetermined winner, because I don't want to give you that.
We put like 6 games in these 6 categories, and we're going to figure it out right now.
Yeah, that's the way I like to do it.
It's more fun that
way. I like to look at them one time, come back to them after thinking about it for a while, and then just hash it out right here and there. And that's the final word.
That's the way our ancestors did it.
I think so.
So here's what I'll do. I'll start with this first category. I will run down the nominees, and then we're going to go where we normally go, where we're like, all right, what doesn't hang here? Like, what are we willing to part with?
What segues will we fall down into?
So, the first category is the Geki for Best Music. And the nominees are Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Persona 5 Royal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Streets of Rage 4, Demon Souls Remake, and Hades. So, Eric, what doesn't hang for you here? What's not even in the conversation?
What doesn't hang?
Yeah.
All right. This is me speaking from the heart, and only because I added it last minute. Get rid of Demon's Souls. Get rid of it. And I love it.
I've only played about 2 hours of it, so because I just got my PS5, so I can't even speak enough to really make a case for it. But I was digging what I was hearing, but I'm with you there. Listen. It's gone.
I said what I said.
For me, I think I can say goodbye to Persona 5 Royal, as much as I love the music in that game. It is, at the end of the day, just a re-release with new tracks of Persona 5. So I'm gonna kiss it goodbye.
What did we give best music to last year? Was it Outer Wilds?
It was Outer Wilds.
I was about to sound so hypocritical. I was gonna say, give it to Ori. Fuck the ambiance music. That's literally what Outer Wilds is.
Yeah.
It's just like cozy music.
And it's a fat soundtrack.
All right, for the next one, get rid of Streets of Rage 4, and I love that soundtrack.
It's
get
jazzy, but it's definitely not my favorite on this list. So
who listens to jazz anymore?
Jazz musicians.
Who listens to jazz anymore?
It's
dead medium.
Wow, today's podcast is brought to you by Pixar's Soul.
Sponsored by Soul. Please check it out. Released in 2021.
Please check it out. About jazz music and death.
Jazz is dead. That's what it's about.
It's
about a man coming to the realization from the afterlife that jazz is actually dead. His life's aspirations.
And then, I don't know. He hangs out with a cat who's played by Tina Fey. I didn't finish the movie.
Did you actually not watch the movie?
No, I've not watched it yet.
Okay. I'll tell you this. The cat is not Tina Fey.
Oh, all right.
That's it.
Okay, that's good.
But there is jazz.
But there is Tina Fey, but it's not the cat.
Yeah, but it's not the cat. That's all I'll say about that. I don't want to spoil it for you. I actually had fun with that movie.
Yeah, I have every intention of watching that movie. I just have not gotten around to it. All 3 of these...
We're not sponsored by Soul.
We are not sponsored by Disney. Disney, give us money. All 3 of these are kind of up there for me. This is a tough
one. Get rid of Ori. Get rid of Ori.
I you know what? Yeah, I like Ori. I don't think I feel.
I want everybody to just hear how much I could strong arm you and just get rid of it.
No, I'm with you. So it's between Hades and Final Fantasy VII Remake, and both those are really good. I only own one of them on vinyl. Does that count as my vote?
No, that's completely biased shit. No. The only reason I didn't even get that is just because money.
Yeah, I know exactly. I would have bought
buy the shit. I'll say this, and this is the criteria that I like to base it on. Out of all the times that I was playing Final Fantasy, there were some tracks that just slapped.
Yeah.
And I'd pause the game and I'd listen to it because it was awesome.
Hades is more about the ambiance.
Hades made me feel cozy.
Yeah.
I was never bopping with it. Never paused it and went, damn, this is a jam. Never happened.
The first time,
but it was good.
When you fight the Airbuster in FF7 Remake, that was my first moment of like, this shit slaps, and I had to like stop for a minute.
Yeah. And Hades was excellent. I don't want to discredit that. So I think Supergiant
it's here for a
reason. Had their own orchestral mixes. It's great stuff. Loved it. Had that kind of a Greek myth flair. But if it doesn't slap, it doesn't slap. That's the reason. That's it.
So we're giving it up for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, and if anybody has any problems with that, I encourage you. What did I ever tell you was the one that fucking bopped? Was it Genova?
It was Genova, yeah.
I think it was Genova. This isn't the Genova theme from the remake.
It fucking
And you'll change your tune. I promise you. It's so good. It has no reason to be that good.
That is the Geki.
Is that bias, you think? No, do you think, we're biased because of nostalgia?
No, I don't think so. I think that's allowed to factor in. These are our awards, man.
Oh, wait, it's our show? Yeah, fuck.
It's all about being biased.
That's right. Everything matters for us. Okay, awesome.
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Wow, Final Fantasy I. Who would have guessed this?
Best music.
Yes, there we go. Done.
Best art direction. Why don't you read us the nominees, Eric?
Okay, so for best art direction, we have Ori. Is it the Will of the Wisps or the Will of Wisp?
The Will of the Wisps.
The Will of the Wisp. Okay. So we have the Ori and the Will of the Wisps, the Ghosts of Tsushima, Animal Crossing, come on, Last of Us 2, and Demon Souls. Now, this is actually kind of difficult, but not... I'm going to say this again, too, even though I put it there. I'm getting rid of Demon Souls. Not because it's not good. Just because with this specific remake, who did it? Bluepoint Games?
Bluepoint, yeah.
They did change a lot of shit. And I'm not... what's the word?
Gorgeous.
I'm not a purist. It is. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm not a purist here. But they were working off of existing designs. I don't want to make it seem like, you know, they broke new ground here.
Yeah.
Graphically,
gorgeous.
The game looks fantastic, but that to me, that's not what art direction is about.
No,
the art direction pretty much is based on the creation of the game's environment and world. And Bluepoint didn't make that.
They did.
And plus, I redesigned some things anyways.
But
and
still worth mentioning.
Oh no, they made models. Like they actually made some models, but as great as they look, I can't do it in good conscience without giving credit to the original team.
The good old boys.
I don't know.
Software.
I feel like I would give it back if it was first release, but it's not. Fuck it. It's gone.
It's gone.
Out.
For me, I just don't think The Last of Us 2 hangs.
Really?
It's got a great look, but like, it's not memorable to me in that way. Like, when I think about like games like The Ghost of Tsushima and Ori that have like these vibrant color palettes that like stand out, like, The Last of Us 2 is, like, pure visual fidelity, but it's that, like, photorealism that I'm just not, that isn't going to strike a chord with me. Like, I still think about how much I engage with, like, the photo mode in, like, Tsushima.
Yeah, and also, I'll agree with you, not because, again, it's not coming from a place of does it look good. It's more of, I don't know, whenever I see The Last of Us in any capacity, I always just think, oh, I've probably seen this before in any other post-apocalyptic kind of game.
It's not,
or movie, or TV.
It's beautiful, but it's not distinct in the way I'm looking for this particular award.
Yeah, and the characters are great. Yeah, I don't know. Because art, what does art direction mean to you?
It basically means the whole, like, the artistic style of the game. Like, it's all more about style to me than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, for me too, it's not even more so about the environments themselves. It's just about how it all basically blends together. And yeah, I agree with you. Whenever I think of The Last of Us, I don't think of it for its art. That's not. If it was for technicality in design, like for just general game design, if we had a category for that,
yeah,
then okay. That would honestly probably be my best bet, just because it was the most technically impressive game that I had played.
Sure.
Shout out to, what was it, the generator plug, whatever that hose was, the cable.
Oh, yeah, just throwing that thing.
I was messing around with that for at least a half hour, just throwing that thing.
Some fun physics-y stuff. Like, oh, yeah. Naughty Dog's real good at rope physics.
Yeah. So, if it was for that, totally, but, yeah, not. I never saw the art or, like, a Firefly logo and thought, oh, man,
yeah,
this
exactly.
is awesome.
It's just generic photorealism at that point, and it's done well, but it's just not a style that strikes a chord with me.
Yeah, same.
What are you thinking here? I mean,
You want me to jump to what I think I want to win?
Yeah, I have an idea, too. I'm curious if we're aligned in the same spot.
The Ghost of Tsushima?
I think it's Ghost of Tsushima.
And I'm not even saying that because I just dig the art style of feudal Japan, just because I think
so
for what it's trying to do,
yeah.
It immediately instills a sense that it basically takes you there.
Well, it's the fact of, I think Ghost of Tsushima could have easily been that generic photorealism that, like, not to discredit The Last of Us, but Last of Us is just like, this looks like a real place, a real location, it's decrepit and all that. But Ghost of Tsushima does so much with, like, color palettes and, like, weather effects to make everything look vibrant and artistic in ways that aren't necessarily realistic but are memorable.
Yeah, I agree. And even The Last of Us, because I've literally just said it takes you there. Yeah, for a time when you're going through, let's say, abandoned buildings or anything in the beginning, it actually looks great. I think the best parts of The Last of Us when they're showing the world is when you get to go on the horse and just go places for a while and just explore,
just
it.
Take it all
but
in,
that's
yeah.
That's not something you get to do very frequently. And the game does hit a lull.
Yeah, I do think
in
that,
the terms
that downtown,
of the environment and the world, it doesn't show you as much because you're going from
set piece to set piece.
What was it, the aquarium?
Yeah.
Like you go to the same places over and over again several times. And anytime they show you a new environment, it looks cool. But I don't know. I really didn't give a shit. I didn't give a shit. I just, by the time that it was going, it was just getting from point A to point B to another abandoned building to the other. It did not strike a chord with me as much as Ghost of Tsushima did, which, when I look at it, it's just cool. It's the whole Tsushima Island. It's just a beautiful place. And you can go anywhere. Literally anywhere. To my knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Very cool. So, best art direction,
I dig it.
Geki goes to the Ghost of Tsushima.
And why not Animal Crossing, you're asking? I don't know.
I like Animal Crossing. It's pretty.
It's cute.
It's a known quantity.
Yeah. And Ori's Ori. You couldn't even give me. You can give me any side-scroller game, and I probably wouldn't give it. It's just the way it is. Depends on what it is.
Now,
but when stacked up against this game,
it ain't doing it.
It ain't it.
Our next award is for the best ongoing game. And the nominees are Call of Duty Warzone, Among Us, Fortnite, and Fall Guys.
Yeah, you know, just give it a Fortnite. Why not?
I think off the bat,
why not, man?
I'm between Call of Duty Warzone and Among Us.
Yeah, I just put Fortnite there just because.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning, but it was never going to be that for either of us, I don't think.
I mean, you could easily write, say, Phasmophobia or any of the other games that were on there.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Honorable mention, because I thought about it afterward, it would be Phasmophobia, just because, literally, I think it's made by, like, less than five developers.
Yeah, very, very,
I'm pretty
very
damn sure.
Team.
And, it's, like, one of the top-selling games on Steam. That's insane.
It's crazy.
And people still play it.
People do. People do. People invited me to play it last night, and I said, no, I'm all about that next gen now.
Oh, too fucking cool.
I was playing a game of Mario Party. It didn't pan out.
What happened?
We were playing over Parsec, and our save got corrupted on, like, turn 10. And then,
how many turns were we playing, 20?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then, you know, they were like, hey, let's play Phasmophobia, and then me and Vinny left.
Mm.
Because I was like, Like, I was when I was texted to play Mario Party, I was like, yeah, I want to play Mario Party. But I wasn't really in the mood for Phasmo.
That's fair. You know what? I don't even know why I'd honorably mention that game. Done. Forget it. Oh, take it off. God. You know what? Your whole anecdotal story, off. Struck.
Your anecdotal story about how you weren't in the mood to play
that game.
Really soured me on it.
Done. Yeah, never played that game before. Only heard great things about it. That one story soured me on the whole experience. If you say no, no.
Now.
I want to give it...
You were saying?
I love Warzone. I love Warzone so fucking much.
Yeah, I wanted you to make the case for Warzone of anything, because you played it... I fire it up occasionally, but you played a lot more than me.
I love that game so fucking much. I do, because it changes you. You go in, you drop with the boys, and it changes you as a person.
Yeah.
Fundamentally.
I remember my first...
I don't even know who I am.
It was quite a night.
Yeah. And, when you win, it's just euphoric. Mm. It's fucking euphoric. And I really love it. But, I mean, what do we... Oh, wait, this is by our opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man, do Call of Duty. Fuck that. Yeah. You know what? I was going to give it to Among Us just for cultural impact. Fuck that. Who cares?
Yeah, Among Us has got the cultural impact.
Who cares?
I do think it's worth a notable mention, but I know how strongly you feel about Call of Duty, and I don't disagree. Well, that game has a...
Well, hold on. Talk to me. Well, tell me about Among Us, because you know what? I may be...
No.
I could be swayed. That's the beauty of the awards. I could be swayed.
We played a lot of Among Us this year. We got to...
We did. That's what I'm saying. I can't not mention it, because we played a lot of it.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. The reason I think Among Us is, like, so important to talk about is because it brought out people that don't typically play games.
Yeah, that's true. How many people did we actually... I mean, even... I haven't played with people from work. They had no idea what the hell that was.
Yeah, that's...
Like, oh, yo, I heard about this game. It's called Among Us, and, do you want to suss someone out? And I was saying, get the fuck away from me. But
at any given point, but we had a circle.
I had a lot of fun with them.
Like almost 20 people that we could have gone to play this game, and that's kind of wild.
Yeah, and this was a game that how long ago was it made? A year ago? Two years ago?
2 years ago, I think.
And everybody's heard of it now. Even had a good old AOC playing it online.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenon.
It was a literal phenomenon.
But at the same time, I stopped playing it.
Yeah.
The hype for me lowered, and I don't really play it that much, nor do I feel compelled. Even when they were showing how they were going to make new stuff for it, new content, I didn't really care.
I mean...
Because I was over it. And that's the problem with games like these, where they're small, and they're good for a time, a nice little pocket, and I get bored. Even Phasmophobia, I think if I even played it, I think it would only be fun for a small pocket of my time, and then I'd get over it and move on to the next thing.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm kind of at with Phasmo.
But that's just me.
Yeah, that's fair. At the same time, I feel like it's one of those games where, like, even if I hadn't played it for, like, weeks, if, like, one night somebody's just like, hey, Among Us, I'd be like, yeah, all right. Like, but I think Call of Duty almost fits that same bill.
I don't know. I just play it more often, and... Obviously, that's my stark bias, but there's a reason in that.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is reason enough for me it's to say, okay, a, yeah, yeah, I kind of like it.
I'd say we give...
Because I don't ever think I get bored of it. I don't. Usually, either when Mike asks or my friend Isaac or some other people, they'll just be like, oh, do you want to play? And unequivocally, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, why the fuck not?
I'd say we give it up to Call of Duty, then.
Well, if you're going to twist my arm about it, yeah. Just go ahead.
All right.
If you're going to twist it.
Best ongoing game, the Geki goes to Call of Duty Warzone. Next up, I think our biggest list,
this is hard.
Best indie game. I'm gonna have you run us through the nominees.
Okay, so for best indie games, we got Hades, we got Among Us, we got Ori, we got Fall Guys, Splunky 2, Kentucky Route Zero, and Streets of Rage 4. I played Streets of Rage 4 a single time with you and Eddie, and it was a very, very good game.
Yeah.
But it was not best indie game for me, no. The reason why I know is because that game is meant to be played multiple times. I never played it past that point.
Yeah.
Ever.
Same. I'm going to take off Fall Guys.
I play that game literally every day. What are you doing?
What? Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
No.
Okay. It added time in the sun.
Small pocket of time.
It was the shortest lived of all of those like Among Us style things. For me, at least. It was fun for 2 or 3 weeks, and then it was gone. in a much longer kind of sense, like I feel like we just had this discussion about Among Us. I really like Among Us. It is not indie OD year.
No, I would stacked against everything else. No, I feel like I'd be discrediting just about everything else to even give it.
Yeah,
I just would. Not even because it doesn't look like it. There hasn't been time put into it. There has. We're talking. You're standing on the shoulders of giants here. I don't know.
Now we got four.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I know people probably think, based on previous ones, that I give it to Hades and that my eyes are locked on Hades, and they are.
Yeah.
I really liked Kentucky Route Zero.
I think it's between Hades and Kentucky Route Zero for me.
I really, really liked Kentucky Route Zero. You don't even want to talk about the other two? What are you doing?
I also really like Spelunky 2. I don't feel like I actually played enough of it yet. I actually I installed it on my PS5 today because I'm like, you know what? I need to do a little more spelunking. I feel like in terms of
it's addicting. I'll give it that.
Long going content stuff, I'm going to end up really falling in love with Spelunky 2, but I have not put enough time into it to really.
Would you consider Spelunky 2 an ongoing game?
I don't know, because they're not going to add content, but it's going to be one of those years that well, at least I don't think they're going to.
Well, because then I guess why wouldn't you consider Hades an ongoing game? You know, that was a stupid question. It's a roguelike. It doesn't mean it's ongoing. It just means that's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget it. That was dumb. Did you beat Ori? Because I didn't. Did. I'll be transparent. I didn't.
And I really, really like that game.
I don't remember you telling me about it.
The fuck, it is a hell of a Metroidvania. I'd even encourage you to go back and like really get through it, just because it's. I like the first Ori fine. This game is beyond a cut above that.
Now tell me this: I beat the first one years ago. Should I even bother to go back and play that again?
No need whatsoever.
I wouldn't even get anything out of it.
You absolutely do not. In fact, like anyone who hasn't played the first one, I'd encourage them just to start here. It's that much of a better game.
Even the story doesn't continue in that way?
I mean, the story is such a light element of it. It's basically just like another story set in that world with that character.
Well, you heard it here first. Rich hates the first one.
I do not hate the first Ori.
Heard it here.
But I really do think it's between Hades and Kentucky Route Zero in my head.
Well, if you're going to twist my arm over it, let me just delete it for you right there. There you go.
Oh, God.
I'll say the case for Kentucky Route Zero before I go into Hades, because I've literally fawned over that game for much more than they would ever pay us to even advertise that game. I really liked Kentucky Route Zero because, number one, this was a game that was first made in 2013. And it's a very straightforward adventure game.
Yes.
And you meet a lot of strange people. You see a lot of strange shit. And it's just weird. It's not a game that I had ever played before in terms of a story. And on the surface, it's pretty straightforward. And I don't know. I just think it's an experience in itself to go through.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was finished last year, finally, I gotta give him credit for it. I mean, it's a really unique game. And I don't think that even if you were to compare it to Hades, the game itself, I can't even think of another game to really compare it to. It's a point-and-click game, for sure, but it's just...
It's unlike any... Like, it clearly has its DNA in those old, like, Scum Engine, like, LucasArts games. But it's so beyond that stuff in terms of the type of story it's telling and the way it tells it. The artwork is, like, second to none in terms of, like, weird abstract shit.
And the score is really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's perfect for setting the tone of the entire game of just going through Kentucky. It's just weird. It's a weird fucking game.
It's got a dog.
And, yeah, it does. yeah, it's got a dog in it. That's very true.
But then again, so does Hades.
It was one of those games. You want to know what it based it off of too? And this is why it's so difficult, because Hades maybe do the same thing.
Yeah.
If I beat a game and it's really good, and I don't mean just, you know, good where I'm thinking, hot damn, put a knee slapper on that and that's great. It's just I'll literally sit back for a moment and just think about it for a strong 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Hades made me do that, but that was more so because I was just relieved that it was over, because I spent so much time trying to beat the goddamn thing that when it finally happened, I was thinking, oh man, I did it. But Kentucky Route Zero made me think about it for a while. Just, but it was as if I saw a really good movie, and I was just thinking, man, that was thought-provoking.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's one of those indies that kind of sticks with you for a while, and I only went back to finish it recently just because at the time I think I was slammed with like a million other things, and I really liked that game.
Well, I hadn't played it since I remember when they were playing. I played it the first time when it initially released,
like the first episode.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then I saw that it was based on Axe, and I gave up on it because I was like, I'll play it when it's done. I can't read books like that. I'm just not in that wheelhouse of anticipation. I hate that.
I ended up playing the playing it when it was all done for the first time, but part of me just looking online and stuff was like, I almost wish I had been playing it along as it released, because to be part of that conversation online seemed really fucking interesting, where people were trying to figure out like what the fuck was going on. Like I can only imagine, and I think that adds to part of the experience. To maybe give Hades a little thunder here, we both love the fuck out of Hades, I think. Supergiant is a giant in terms of, like, indie development. Like, all their games are exceptional for me. And this is just another really polished Supergiant foray. And a game I really like.
I was just thinking the other day, has Supergiant ever missed? And the answer is no. They never have missed. If you really want to get into brass tacks, I think their weakest game, and I still love it, is Transistor.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's saying something. This is a game that got like a 9 out of 10, and I still think that it was even the weakest out of all of them. Some may even say it was Pyre, but I know you love Pyre.
I fucking love Pyre. Is probably my favorite of their games.
And I can tell you this, it's not Bastion. I'll tell you that right now, too. You have 4 games consecutively all scoring pretty high, and this one is no different for just being really good.
No, and if anything, I think maybe that's why we give the Indie Award here to Kentucky Route Zero, just because I think it does so much more for, like, elevating genres that were kind of dying out. Like, we're seeing adventure games resurge, but, like, I think this is a uniquely exceptional adventure game.
I genuinely do. For people who are fans of points and clicks, they'll tell me,
then we recommend the ones who have started off early on, Atlantis.
Yeah, I'll point them to Pajama Sam. No, for growing up, I played Putt-Putt, I played Pajama Sam, played Spy Fox.
Yeah,
I mean, I even Grim Fandango, still one of my favorites.
Yeah, no, like when we were in high school, I had I downloaded, this is illegal, Eric. I got that Scum Engine, like, sim thing that got dumped online. I just started working my way through a lot of those old LucasArts games, like Monkey Island and stuff like that. And that's, like, where that genre thrives for me, even though it's where it kind of lived and then died.
I mean, even King's Quest were great games.
Yeah, the original King's Quest were fantastic. It's just,
they all had their own pieces, and I loved figuring it. For me, those types of games, at least the MMX ones... Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. The early iteration of those games that I knew them to be were, hey, I'll help you do this, but you gotta help me do this, the game.
Yeah.
Because they were just endless chains of favors that you had to do for one person to get something else done, and that branched out into this whole big adventure that you... I even remember when I got fucking... What was it called? It was SpongeBob Employee of the Month. I remember when I got that when I was like 7.
Classic.
Shit my pants when I got that game. It's great. And it was a point-and-click adventure game. And it took me a couple of hours to do, and then when it was done, it was done. But games like this, like Kentucky Route Zero, do not have, even current games that kind of go beyond this whole point, they're way more sophisticated now. There is no real, hey, if you do this, I'll do this. It's literally one straight-shot adventure.
Yeah.
And you're just experiencing things as you're going through it. And it's weird, and it's interesting, and it's dark, and it's soulful. It just has a lot of different elements that you just don't... I felt like I was playing a work of art. I really do. I felt like it was an art piece.
It 100% is.
And this is why when they say, like, oh, you know, games are art, I mean, I'd point them to this, because the score is haunting. It's good.
Best played with headphones.
Oh, for sure. You need that. Just because you really, unless you just had a really dope speaker system to just
blast it out of. Yeah, which, I mean, I don't know what your home situation is. Maybe you do.
Yeah, maybe you do. But if you're going to rock, if it's either those $20 Logitechs, or you could pop in some Apple headphones, pop in the Apple headphones. Put them on
and take off. And I think that kind of unequivocally speaks to what we're saying here, though. I think we give it up to Kentucky Road Zero.
Yeah, just because it's done. And congratulations to the devs for even finishing it. Because
the Geki,
7 years, not easy.
Not easy at all. After 7 years of development, the Geki for best indie game goes to Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
That brings us to our final award of the evening. The Game of the Year award. Wow.
This brings us to our final award, best side character in a game.
Fattest ass.
The fattest ass in a video game. who would you give it to? Big the cat.
These are Putt Putt.
Garfield, from Garfield Kart.
They're just all cats.
They're literally just all animals, and they say, "What the fuck is wrong
Khajiit
with you?"
Khajiit Merchant from Skyrim.
Yes, the character creator from Skyrim. No, it's the Game of the Year.
Game of the Year, and the nominees are Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Hades, and Ghost of Tsushima.
Well, Rich, which one has the fattest ass? You tell me. Which was the thickest game of the year?
What can't we part with off the bat?
Ori?
Can we? Yeah, Ori. I love Ori. I haven't gone to bat for it yet tonight.
I feel like I'm so soulless with half of these, where I'm just like, get out. I never played any of these games and texted you after and thinking, oh, I gotta let Rich know that this was the shit. It just never happened.
And you did text me when you finished Sonic Adventure and you said, look at Big the Cat's voluptuous cheeks.
That's what I said. I said you could break a glass bottle in that thing. That's exactly what I said. And I zoomed in, it was very pixelated, but you could tell.
I go by
games where I'm actually talking to you about them offline. Get rid of Animal Crossing, too. I'm sorry. As much as I drank the Kool-Aid when it first came out, I couldn't give any less of a shit about it.
I've been checking back in on that game recently. Animal Crossing is still great. It's not Game of the Year for me. These three, now this is an actual conversation.
Talk to me about Ghost of Tsushima, because I'll be transparent, I never even beat it.
I got the platinum trophy.
And I'll never beat it again.
I did everything that game has to offer.
You got the platinum of it?
Yes.
Wow.
I like that
game. No, I was talking to such a pro.
I'm a real pro gamer. I like that game a whole fucking lot. It's obviously beautiful as hell, as we already discussed. The gameplay.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really good Assassin's Creed game. It's the best Assassin's Creed game in years, in my opinion.
Think it's better than Valhalla?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Wow.
God
damn.
It in some ways it feels dated like that, because it is just this generic, like, you know, to-do list in an open world. But I think in terms of wearing its inspiration on its sleeve, like the films of Kurosawa and like this samurai style it has a lot going for it. I think it takes some time to get invested. I think that first act is a little slow, but once you really do get invested in that story, it goes places and has fantastic VO, both Japanese and English. It's a game that has a lot going for it. I don't know necessarily that of these three, it was my favorite of these three games. But it was definitely in the conversation. And I remember feeling very strongly about it at the time. It was way back at the start of the year.
The reason why I like it so much, even though I did not beat it at all in any capacity, is just because Sucker Punch Games has not made a game like this ever. And I'm not just talking about...
I mean, they made open world stuff, but not at all.
No, yeah. Yeah, they in their infamous games... You could even argue, I guess, Sly Cooper, but I wouldn't. They've made open world type-ish games before, but not at this scale.
No, nothing quite like this.
And you could argue that Infamous is a game that's open. I'm very particular at games that are in a city and then calling it open world, because technically it's not in a way, because it's just generating as you go. Which may be all open. That's why it sounds stupid. It's just,
yeah, really.
It's a different, to me, it's a different kind of scope and it's a different scale. I do not think it's more impressive to throw, say, coal into a city and be like, yep, this is open world and this is the way it's going to be. This game just felt bigger, and it was different in terms of what they were trying to do, and it just looks so fucking good.
Yeah, it's got...
And they even released the multiplayer, the raiding concept, and that actually was good.
Yeah, people are enjoying that. I actually...
Like, that wasn't nonsense.
I regret that I have not made time to get back to that, because people
never even touched it.
Really like it. And they've actually been releasing gear sets... like limited time gear sets that are tied to other Sony first party titles. Like, there's a God of War themed gear set. There's a Horizon themed one. I think that's a really neat, like, synergistic idea.
Yeah. So I think it's great. I think it's something that... Come back to that. Because I think it's great. Final Fantasy Remake, I want to cut it. And I want to explain why, and then I want to hear your thoughts about it, at least, too.
Let's hear it.
I think it was a game that everybody was anticipating very strongly for the year. I was one of them. You were one of them. Did it get pushed back to March at that time?
It did.
From 2019, yeah?
I do not...
I don't know what the initial date... I don't know what the original date was for that, even.
It might have been... I think it was 2020. I think it was February of 2020, initially.
Okay. Yeah, it was. Okay. To me, if this game was actually completed, it would have won it. It just wasn't. And I can't... The reason why I don't want to give a game of the year is just because, number one, I wasn't really impressed with all of it. The whole Midgar thing, I didn't really care about being so much in the slums for such an extended period of time. It didn't stick with me as much as they probably wanted it to. So having a lot of that initial part one of the game dragged out just to see how the people were living and get in the environment and getting a feel for things, I like that. I just didn't think that it was that impressive. I think some of the best moments of the entire game are just based on the parts that were honestly emphasized by the very first original game. Like the fights.
Yeah.
Like anything extra that was thrown into there, it didn't affect me. I didn't give a shit. And also graphically, outside of all of the characters, everything else was not that impressive.
You can see where the resources went very clearly.
Yeah, they went into Shinra Tower. And the bosses. And the enemies. And that's not bad. It's just... You could tell that there was clearly a division of their priority. And I just didn't really have a lot of that extra stuff stick with me enough where I just kept saying... I want to get to the game. Like, I want to get to Shinra. I want to get to what comes after Shinra. I kind of want to just move forward. And then by the time I did, which I had a blast with, it's just, that was it. Now you got to wait another 4 years for the second part. To me, it wasn't complete for me. I didn't finish the game and get all hyped and say, oh, god damn, that was the best thing I ever played. It was more, oh man, that was good. But I really kind of just want to play now the rest of it, and I couldn't, so I was like, damn, it was like a wet fart.
Yeah, that's fair. It's funny, is in some of that I agree that it should probably be cut here, but in some of that I actually swing in the opposite direction of you.
I'm glad. Tell me.
I feel like the shortcomings of that game all show in the end, and the reason I say shortcomings are because I feel like a lot of the choices, without getting spoilery here, that they chose to make around the ending of that game, I don't know how I feel about them until we know how it pans out in full context, with what they do with that going forward. That being said, like, a lot of the choices to stick around Midgar for longer, I actually really enjoyed. I enjoyed fleshing out that, because the city feels like such an afterthought in the original game, even though it is such a big part of the plot. And I thought it was interesting to characterize Avalanche a little bit more and stick around there longer. And despite this only being, you know, like the first 6 or so hours of the original game, really, it ends up feeling like a complete experience. Introducing different themes earlier and sort of playing off stuff like that. I played the fuck out of that game. Like, there's some, like I said, weird shit towards the end is what shakes me. And it's hard to know how that stuff is going to be looked back on in hindsight without context going forward. But that's really what it is for me.
Hmm. Think you should win Game of the Year?
No. I don't.
Get it off! Out!
So now we are between Ghost of Tsushima and Hades.
Okay. We've said already a lot about Hades.
We have.
I love that game.
I absolutely adore that game.
I love that game. I've told people to play this game. It's good. Big fan of mythology. So I'm biased.
Yeah, I'm a
big
fan of... We're Zag heads here. That's what we call
ourselves. That's what they call them?
Yeah.
I think Supergiant did a really good job at forming their own interpretation of Greek mythology.
Agreed. Yeah, taking a lot of themes from it originally, and so much of that game is around the stories it tells with those characters in the House of Hades in between. I also want to give that game an insane amount of credit for building a narrative around a roguelike in a way we've kind of never seen before, where like, the idea that you're dying and repeating the run is like so carefully tied into the plot.
Yeah. And it's not, even after you beat it, it's just not done.
No, yeah. You
and
need to clear,
I think a lot of roguelikes
10 times to get the true ending.
Yeah, and a lot of roguelikes struggle with that. And Dead Cells doesn't. I know it doesn't.
Do not.
That game still in its fabric does not suffer from that, but it also doesn't have such a hot, heavy story structure as Hades does. I think with other games that have a very heavy narration to it, after you beat that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You're just kind of retreading a lot of the same speech paths, and then you go to the end, and then you're like, oh, fuck, it's the same stuff, but you just want to try to go beat your time and do it a little bit faster. Same concept here, but they instead said, hey, we're just going to make more story, more paths, more dialogue branches and possibilities, more upgrades, just give you more of that for a very long time, because I'm still finding new things that you could just see, which is, to me, absolutely insane, because I think I've spent already like 40 hours on it, and that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's still very fresh. And it's still enjoyable, and you still try to beat your time. And anybody else who I've actually just recommended this to, who don't even like roguelikes, mind you, the ones who literally say, oh, I didn't like Dead Cells, I don't like Hollow Knight because I'm not a fan of the Metroidvania kind of things, and I'm not a fan of the way it's, but I don't like Rogue Legacy, I don't like those kinds of games and its nature, they love this game.
Which, yeah, it tells you, like, Supergiant is so good at certain things that, like, they're so plug-and-play into different genres. They really took this genre and just made it their own.
Yeah. And to its credit, this was a game that started in early access and actually followed through to it to become a full-fledged game.
Yeah, and it...
So many games that I've experienced have gone through early access really do little to take it across the finish line when they do become fully released. But these guys literally changed it.
Yeah, they
over the course of the year.
They changed a lot of it. Like, combat flows more seamlessly now than it did. Added a ton of weapons and things like that. It's come a long way, and I remember playing it a lot when it first launched and then just stopping for a long time. And then finally getting back into it when it was at full 1.0. And what a fucking game.
Yeah.
So I think we both love it. My question for you, Eric, is does it stand above Ghost for you?
It does.
I think it does for me as well.
It does, because I think of Ghost of Tsushima, I think you said it perfectly earlier. If we're talking about an overall world-building perspective, I would more comfortable giving it art direction than Game of the Year just because I'm still playing Hades.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, even I...
And replayability is a very big thing for me, even if it's just a story-based game.
Like, I've gotten the quote-unquote complete ending in Hades, and I still go back to it every now and again because there's still some bits of dialogue I know I can pick up.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever, man. Ghost, who gives you? You get it off. I don't even care. Get it off. All right. I'm getting signed. Fuck
the
that.
The Geki for Game of the Year goes to Hades.
Yeah. You think we could tell Supergiant and they'll actually give a shit?
Let's email them.
I'll be like, hey, man. We gave you a Geki.
And they're like, you did what? I'm calling the cops.
They'll be like, sweet, are you going to send us anything? I'm like, no. Can you just put us on the back of, like, your review boxes, though?
This game is good. That's our quote.
Weren't you on the back of the Messenger's Picnic Panic?
Yeah, I was quoted, yes. For the...
Or was it... It wasn't Picnic Panic, it was the base game.
The limited release, yeah.
Oh, damn. You're immortalized.
Immortalized forever. I don't think my name's on it. I think it just says destructoid.com.
I mean, I know it's you. I know those are your words.
I did say words. That's true.
I typed in the Messenger back of the box.
What do we got?
Nothing.
Oh, wait. I almost...
you are... There is no evidence of you whatsoever.
Well, that's okay, because we know it's there. I almost bought that limited run release when I was at PAX, but then I think they were out of it by the time I got to the booth.
Yeah, they sell out really fast. It's hard.
But that's okay.
But there you have it, everybody. That's it.
That's it.
That's the game of the year.
That is the game of the year.
Is that even surprising? No.
No, I think I had an inkling going in. So just to run us through it again, best music goes to Final Fantasy VII Remake. Best art direction goes to Tsushima. Best ongoing game is Call of Duty Warzone. Best indie is Kentucky Route Zero. And the game of the year is Hades.
That's right.
Wow.
What is going on in the world outside of this, you ask? Justin Roiland took over his studio's role as CEO.
Yeah.
So now he's the CEO of Squanch Studios.
Crazy times.
What the fuck? What are we going to do?
That's some crazy shit.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do with all that junk?
Rich, are you satisfied with the awards today?
I'm satisfied with the awards today. I think they did well.
No, you know what? No. I don't really like the way we did it. I think we should do it again. Yep, take it from the top again. I'm a little hazy on the details.
No, you were there for the whole thing. Remember Anime Ladies?
I do. Who, now you may be asking, but Eric, but Rich, who had the thickest ass in games, you ask?
Garfield from Garfield.
Still going to give it to Garfield World from Tour. Garfield. Wait, who'd you say it was?
Garfield from Garfield Lasagna World Tour.
Yes. You can give me any inappropriate hentai game, and I'll tell you to back the fuck up and Shrek yourself. It's Garfield.
Or you Shrek.
For sure. Yeah, come on. Let's stop being ridiculous. But that was a pretty good one. It was a good year. I have to say, despite all the pushes and all that, that was a good year.
We made it. We survived somehow.
Will Cyberpunk be the game of the year of 2021? I don't think so.
I doubt it.
I think it's just going to fade away, as terrible as that sounds. I genuinely believe that that's a terrible thing to happen.
I've already played some stuff I think is better.
Has it kind of faded away from your mind?
Cyberpunk, yeah.
That's unreal.
I've kind of forgotten it.
That's such a shame.
You know what I did do when I got this PS5 this weekend, I platinumed Astro's Playroom.
Really?
That game's really fucking good. The pack-in game for the PS5 is exceptional.
Who would have guessed? You read that thing about that guy Gutex?
No.
With that emote on Twitch?
Oh, the PogChamp thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He seems like a nut job.
Yeah.
As it turns out.
I don't get it. I don't understand being in any position of any kind where your job is literally social.
And you're like, well, here's some thoughts I'm going to
put. Yeah, and you just say, you want to know what's not cool? Can't believe that they stopped people raiding the Capitol. Those white people are good people.
Well, that's what the president said.
Why would you even, on your main, why would you even do that?
He said he loves them. He said they're good people.
Make like a fake fucking
and
account.
Understands.
I don't understand.
I don't know how anyone could, because it's literally insane behavior.
or goes, hey, you want to know something? I woke up today, and I was thinking, how could I blow up my entire career?
And he found a pretty good way.
Yeah. For those who don't know, that dude, too, is responsible for a literal emote. Yeah, said some conservative shit.
He said he
and
was,
he lost his job. And he lost it.
Further violence at the Capitol.
Yeah, essentially.
He removed his emote.
Not verbatim, but essentially.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. So they got rid of his whole emote, and now his whole career, most likely nobody's going to want to associate with him. Because that makes sense. Because it genuinely makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, his whole job now is just nobody's going to want to associate with this dude.
No, exactly.
What the fuck's the point of that?
He's a fucking idiot.
I don't get it. It's like tomorrow if I decide, hey, you want to know what's not great?
Tell me.
Christianity.
I mean, I guess it's, I mean, I don't have strong feelings one more.
I mean, okay, well, if you're talking about, fucking, it, you know what
I mean. I know, exactly.
I wasn't going to get too racy because it's like not point, there's no point, but yeah. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Well, you never know.
You never, ever know. I guess that does it for the Game of the Year show. I mean, next time we come back, we'll just be talking about games again in the year of 2021, our Lord.
You know what? No.
No?
I don't want to do that. I want to read scripture.
Okay.
On each episode following this.
Okay.
I'm going to flick through the Bible.
Okay.
Put down my finger. And whatever passage it lands on, we're going to read.
Okay.
And then next week, we'll get the Torah.
Okay.
And we'll do the same thing.
I'll do that.
And we'll become a religious podcast.
I'll do that podcast with you.
Yeah. And it'll be under the same name.
That sounds confusing.
Yeah. It'll be great. But, Rich, do you have anything else you want to bring up?
No, not at present. I can roll us right into housekeeping.
Yep, get out the brooms.
Here's my broom. Thanks to Ed Biquette for our intro and Heather Ramos for our lovely artwork. Ask us questions, geckogamespodcast@gmail.com. We might read them on the air as long as they're not about PogChamp.
Yeah, don't bring it up. I don't even want to talk about it.
Eric, where can we find you?
Probably on Twitter, maybe.
Twitter, you are at beautiful underscore
Eric. Oh, yeah, beautiful_Eric. That's right. Thank you.
No problem. You can find me on Twitter.
You can tell I'm so used to outreach.
Yeah, outreach is important. You can find me, obviously, here. You can find me on Twitter, at TheRichMeister0, and my other home at SwordChomp.com. But until next time, this has been the Game of the Year 2020 show in 2021. Eric, I'll see you on the other side.
I hate video games, man. All right, I'll see you everybody.
See you next year.
Bye.